إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا. أما بعد، I welcome all of you. We continue reading the explanation of Riyad al-Salihin by the great and the noble Shaykh al-Allama Muhammad ibn Salih al-Uthaymeen rahimahullah ta'ala. We're still reading to you the explanations of the ahadith of Bab al-Taqwa, the chapter of piety. And today we're reading the last hadith in this chapter. The last hadith. And that's going to be the end of this chapter before we move on to the other chapter, which is Bab al-Yaqeen wa al-Tawakkul, to have certainty while depending upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. عن أبي أمامة صدي بن عجلان الباهلي رضي الله عنه قال سمعت رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يخطب في حجة الوداع فقال اتقوا الله وصلوا خمسكم وصوموا شهركم وأدوا زكاة أموالكم وأطيعوا أمراءكم تدخلوا جنة ربكم. رواه الترمذي في آخر كتاب الصلاة وقال حديث حسن صحيح. On the authority of Abu Umama رضي الله عنه, صدي بن عجلان الباهلي, who said, I heard the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم during the sermon of the farewell pilgrimage saying, have taqwa of Allah.
Alhamdulillah.
Hadikum Allah. So he said, I heard the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saying during the sermon of the farewell pilgrimage, be mindful of your duty to Allah, have taqwa of Allah, perform your 5 daily prayers, fast during the month of Ramadan, pay the zakat on your properties, and obey your leaders. If you do so, you will enter the Jannah of your Rabb, of your Lord. This hadith is collected by Imam al-Tirmidhi in the end of the section of the prayer, and he says hadithun hasanun sahih. The ulama, they says that the hadith hasan is a sound hadith, is from the categories of an authentic hadith, but is lesser in degree because of the khiffati dabt al-rawi. When you find one of the narrators that his memory is not strong, okay, that's what make it move that hadith from being sound, sahih, authentic to hasan, but it's still a sound hadith. Likewise, the ulama, he says, when Imam al-Tirmidhi say hasan hadith, hadith hasan and sahih, so which one to take and how we understand it? He says, because you will find that the Imam al-Tirmidhi narrated this hadith from different routes. One of them was sound, hasan, and one was sound, sahih, authentic. The explanation of this hadith, يقول الشيخ ابن عثيمين رحمه الله, because in this hadith is about the khutbah of the Prophet ﷺ. is about something that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said in one of his sermons. Precisely the sermon that he has given sallallahu alaihi wasallam in his farewell pilgrimage. They call it the farewell pilgrimage. Keep in mind, that's the only pilgrimage the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam performed. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as the ulama they mentioned, performed one hajj and four umrahs. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam performed four umrahs and one hajj. So Shaykh ibn Uthaymeen rahimahullah, he says, the sermons of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam that he gave of two types, two categories. Khutab ratiba wa khutab arida. There is some sermons that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to give them all time, consistent, while others based on the occasions. They were occasionally sermons. Then the Shaykh Ibn Uthaymeen, he explained, what is those khutab ratiba? Meaning those khutab that are consistent. Prophet ﷺ used to give them all time, in a well-specific known times. Like the sermons of Jumu'ah, Friday. Prophet ﷺ used to always give a sermon. That's ratiba. His established sermon. Every Friday. Likewise, the two Eids. The sermons the Prophet ﷺ used to give for Eid al-Adha and Eid al-Fitr. That's consistent. That's established. Okay? So for Jumu'ah and in the two Eids, the Prophet ﷺ always gives sermons. He always gives sermons on Fridays, in Jumu'ah prayer, and always gives sermons in the Eids, the Eid al-Fitr and Eid al-Adha. The Shaykh says, however, the ulama, the scholars, they differ as related to the khutbah, the sermon related to Salat al-Kusuf. You know Salat al-Kusuf? The Kusuf is the eclipse of the sun. Help him, help him. Can you help him? Open that for him. Jazakallah. He says, however, the ulama, they differ pertaining to that sermon, the khutbah the Prophet ﷺ gave in Salat al-Kusuf. Is it ratiba, consistent, or occasionally? Sometimes, to be performed sometimes, not all time. The Kusuf is the eclipse of the sun. Okay? The eclipse, the Prophet ﷺ used to pray and give a sermon. And Shaykh ibn Uthaymeen, he says the reason of their difference of opinions, because Kusuf took place only once in the time of the Prophet ﷺ. One time. And when the Prophet ﷺ finished his prayer, Salat al-Kusuf is a special prayer as well. It is not performed like the regular prayers. It has its own description. We're going to learn that in very soon, inshallah, in Al-Mulakhas al-Fiqhi, the classes of fiqh here at Masjid Tawheed on Mondays, inshallah. So when the Prophet ﷺ finished praying Salat al-Kusuf, he stood up ﷺ and delivered a sermon. He spoke to the people, alayhi salatu wasalam. Because of this, some of the ulama, they says, it is a consistent sermon. It is established. Why, they says, even though the Prophet ﷺ performed it once in his time, they says, because whatever the Messenger of Allah ﷺ established for us, it will continue. And they says, especially that the Kusuf took place only once in the lifetime of the Prophet ﷺ. It did not take place another time so that we see, did the Prophet ﷺ leave the khutbah or not. Okay, since it happened once, we say, look, we're going to do it. Because we don't know. If this kusuf took place another time, and the Prophet ﷺ didn't give the khutbah, then we say, look, you do it sometimes. Okay? Some of the people of knowledge, they say, It is not an established sermon. Rather, if there is a need for it. If there is no need, so there is no sermon. Shaykh al-Uthaymeen, he says, but the closest opinion to the truth and to be the correct opinion is that the sermon given and Salat al-Kusuf is established. And he has to be consistent. And whenever there is the prayer of Kusuf, the Imam gives his sermon with it. Because the Prophet ﷺ, he reminds the people about the hereafter. He reminds them, and so that they can be admonished and fear Allah. And that this, what happened to Kusuf, the eclipse of the sun, is from the signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As for the sermons that are not established, they are those sermons that you find in the Sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ that he gave occasionally. For instance, in the incident of when the Prophet ﷺ made certain condition on the family of Barira. Barira, she is a slave girl of Aisha radiallahu anha. Aisha bought this slave girl radiallahu anha. But her family, the people, they says, look, she can be your slave girl, but it is for us to decide what happened to her and is in matters. Aisha radiallahu anha didn't accept that. Didn't accept this condition. So she informed the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he gave them a sermon and he says, خُذِيهَا وَاشْتَرِتِ لَهُمْ الْوَلَاءِ ثم قام فخطب الناس وأخبرهم أن الولاء لمن أعتق. But the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم says, yes, keep her and give them what and honor their condition. And the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, he got up, the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, he gave a sermon pertaining to this subject to make clear to the people that if this happened, if anyone facing these circumstances that Aisha faced, this is the deal. This is the ruling. Alhamdulillah. Another example the Shaykh Ibn Uthaymeen mentioned of another khutab that is not established. The Prophet ﷺ didn't, is not to give them all time, but based on the occasions. It's pertaining to a story that involves Usama ibn Zayd radiallahu anhu. Usama ibn Zayd radiallahu anhu, he interceded on behalf of women. They call it al-mar' al-makhzumiyyah. This woman, she was from a noble tribe. But what this woman did, she used to borrow things from the people, but she used to deny. She used to say, I didn't get anything. I have nothing for you. All right? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam ordered that her hand to be cut off. But since now she was a noble woman from a noble tribe, Quraysh, they were like, this is a noble woman. How this woman, she's from a noble family, noble tribe, and her hand to be cut. So they were looking for someone to intercede on her behalf. Would the Prophet ﷺ, meaning somebody go and tell the Prophet ﷺ, if you can really make exception, this is a noble woman from a big tribe and this and this. And they found Usama ibn Zayd. Why? Usama ibn Zayd, he was the beloved, adopted son of the Prophet ﷺ. Prophet ﷺ loved him very much. So they said, hey, we can find no one better than him. He can... So that's what he did. He went and tried to intercede on her behalf. But the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said to him, "Atashfa'u fi haddi min hududillah." He said to him, "You were intercede so that I can change one of the rulings of Allah. This is what Allah has legislated. This punishment for someone who steals Allah is the one who ruled this. And you want to intercede in something like this? ثم قام رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. Then the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, he stood up and gave a khutbah to the people. After he said, he dealt with Usama one on one. Then now he gave the sermon to the people. He said to them, and he informed them, that that which destroyed the people before us, he said, that's what destroyed, from the thing that destroyed the people before us, that when a noble, when someone from a noble family steals, they leave him alone. They give them a break, like we said. They don't establish the punishment of Allah upon the noble people. But when a poor person, somebody who doesn't come from a noble family or tribe, steals, they establish the proof, the punishment on them. So this is what destroyed the people before. Because that's dhulm. Can't be biased in Islam. Still talking about the sermons of the Prophet ﷺ, and now he came back to this hadith. He says, in the farewell pilgrimage, Hajjat al-Wada', the Prophet ﷺ, he gave a sermon, and that's on Yawm Arafah. On Yawm Arafah. That's the night of the Hijjah. And also on the day of the Eid, the 10th of the Hijjah, he gave a sermon. He reminded the people of the Akhirah and admonish them so they can prepare themselves for that and what come after it. He said, and these two sermons, the sermon of Arafah and the Eid, they are from the established sermons, that the one who's leading the Hajj, he will give these sermons, as the Prophet ﷺ did. And when we say the one who's leading the Hajj, this is the Hajj takes place in Saudi Arabia now, alhamdulillah. So they have the Mufti, the Grand Mufti. He's the one who gives these sermons. Okay? So he's the one who gives these sermons. Shaykh al-Azimi, he says, from the thing that the Prophet ﷺ has mentioned in this khutbah, in this sermon, in the farewell pilgrimage, he says, O people, have taqwa of your Lord. He said, this is equivalent in the meaning to the statement of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah An-Nisa, Ya ayyuha an-nas, taqwa rabbakum. Same thing. Allah says in the Quran, Ya ayyuha an-nas, taqwa rabbakum. The Prophet ﷺ, he says, Ya ayyuha an-nas, taqwa rabbakum. The same sentence. But there is a difference between them, that the second one is Quran. What Allah says in Surah An-Nisa is Quran. But what the Prophet ﷺ says is Hadith. We respect both of them, but we know the difference between the Hadith and between the Quran. The Quran, if you recite it, you get rewarded for it. With every letter, we know what you get, at least 10 good deeds. And more to whom Allah wants. And likewise, the Quran, you recite it in Salat. You don't recite Hadith in Salat. Okay? The Quran is, there is nothing in the Quran that is weak or fabricated, or you want to check the chain of narration. La. It's all from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As for the hadith, yes, there is some ahadith that you have to check if they are sound or not. This was some of the difference between the hadith and the ayah from the Quran. So here in this khutbah, in this sermon, the Messenger of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam ordered the people, all of them. He didn't say this tribe or this category, all of them, to have taqwa of their Lord by acting upon his commands when he reached them and stay away from the prohibitions. To have taqwa of their Lord who created them and bestowed upon them his favors and bounties. And since Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has guided them to Islam, so now they have to act upon it by having taqwa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Likewise, from the things that the Prophet ﷺ ordered the people, He says, and perform the five obligatory prayers. Sallu khamsakum. Meaning the five compulsory prayers that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made obligatory upon us. It was obligatory upon the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and upon us. And when he says, and fast your month, meaning the month of Ramadan. The month of Ramadan. وَأَدُّوا زَكَاتَ أَمْوَالِكُمْ, and give the zakat of your wealth. Meaning, give it to those who deserve it. And don't be stingy. Give that which it is right for those who deserve. And who deserve the zakat? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in the ayah 60 of Surah At-Tawbah. Ayah 60 of Surah At-Tawbah, there is 8 categories of people who are recipients of a zakat. The masjid is not one of them. So zakat al-mal is not given to the masjid. It's given to 8 categories of people that are mentioned in the Quran, in Surah At-Tawbah, verse number 60. From them is the al-masakeen, al-fuqara, wal-masakeen. Okay. And by the way, zakat, giving the zakat is an obligation, it's not an option. And it's not a donation. Somebody thinks like I'm giving a donation. No, you gotta know, learn if you are eligible. If you are from those people that have to give zakat, now you have to know at that moment that it's an obligation. It is not an option. It's not a donation, you just give whatever you want. No. You need to do the calculation, you need to learn how much exactly you have to give. And that's the minimum you should give. But if you want to give more, it's up to you. That's better for you. Also, the Messenger of Allah, from the things he mentioned in that sermon, he says, and obey your rulers, your leaders. He says, meaning those whom Allah has appointed, because they are rulers by Allah's leave. If Allah didn't want them to be rulers, they will never be rulers. Allah appointed them to be rulers. They were appointed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the Shaykh, he says, this include the rulers of areas, province, and also the main leader. That is the leaders of all the whole Muslim nation. So whatever the case may be, he said it is an obligation upon the ra'iyya, upon the people, to obey the rulers and the leaders, the Muslim leaders. But upon obedience to Allah. But if those rulers, they command with disobedience of Allah, there is no obedience. No obedience. Because there is no obedience to any human being if it is disobedience to the Creator subhanahu wa ta'ala. Never give precedence to obedience to the creation over the Creator. Allah says in Surah An-Nisa, verse 59, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَطِيعُوا اللَّهَ وَأَطِيعُوا الرَّسُولَ وَأُولِي الْأَمْرِ مِنْكُمْ. O you who believe, obey Allah and obey the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and those on authority over you, those who have authority over you, in charge over your affairs. Look, the ulama, they says, Shaykh Al-Uthaymeen mentioned that as well. Allah says, O you who believe, obey Allah and obey the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But he didn't say, and obey the rulers. He says, since Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said it this way, meaning that obeying the rulers is a part of obeying Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It is not by itself. Meaning when someone obeys the rulers, actually that person is obeying Allah and obeying His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And likewise, those who obey the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, by doing so, they are obeying Allah. And those who disobey the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And those who disobey the ruler into that which is right, they are disobeying Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So obeying the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is obligatory. The same way obeying Allah is an obligation. There is no conditions for the obeying the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The Shaykh, he says, why? Because the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam always command only, he command only that which is pleasing to Allah. As for other than him from the rulers, their obedience is conditioned. Now, there is a condition to it. There is a condition to it. Why? Because you may find some of them who command with something that is not pleasing to Allah. You see? You understand? There is, somebody may command them to do something that is not good, evil. Ma'asiyah, sin. That's why Allah has made obedience to the rulers, to the Muslim rulers, subjected to the obedience of Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He didn't say, and obey the ruler, meaning obey them in anything they say. La. That's the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who we obey him, his obedience is absolute. We obey the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam in everything he said and ordered. Because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam never, ever, command with disobedience. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam commands only with obedience to Allah. But the rulers is different. The rulers, they are not prophets and messengers. They may command the people with something that is not right, that is not pleasing to Allah. That's why Allah mentioned it, that obedience to the rulers is only if they obey Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The Shaykh says it's not permissible for a person to disobey the rulers if they do not command with disobedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he says, look, this is not from the religion. If I go against this ruler, it has nothing to do with Islam. He says, no, this is not permissible. He says, you find some juhal, some ignorant people, and many of them in our times, when the ruler or those deputies, those who represent the ruler, because the ruler, he cannot be in every city, in every place. He has deputies, he has people who represent him. So they have to obey them as well. He says, some juhal, some ignorant people, when these rulers or those who represent them come up with certain things, this is how things going to be done, and those things do not go against the legislation of Islam, you find some ignorance says, no, I don't have to follow him. I don't have to follow him. Because they are not in Quran and Sunnah. This is from him. He's a human being. It's not a legislation. Why? Because it's not an ayah. What he's saying is not in the Quran. It's not in the Sunnah of the Messenger of Allah. The Shaykh says this understanding is wrong because it is the result of ignorance. Rather, he says, we say that applying and complying with these rules and regulations, it is in the Book of Allah. And it is found in the Sunnah of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Where? In the same ayah 59. O you who believe, obey Allah and obey the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam and those who are in charge of you, the rulers. And there are many, this is one ayah, but there is many narrations, the Shaykh says, from the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that command the people to obey their rulers. And from them this hadith. From them this hadith. And then he says, Shaykh Ibn al-Taymin, he mentions something. He says, if we have to obey them only when they bring us an ayah and a hadith, then Allah commanding us to obey them have no purpose then. It will defeat the purpose. Okay? Because if they bring us an ayah and hadith, now we're obeying Allah and we're obeying the Messenger, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Whether they command with these things or not, we don't have to wait until they command us to pray because that's a command from Allah. We're not going to wait until they command us to do certain things if the Prophet ﷺ already commanded us. Okay? So that's why obeying them in that which is ma'roof and in obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is an obligation. And likewise, now it is good to learn these things so that you know the wickedness of al-Ikhwan al-Muslimin, this deviant group that started in Egypt and now is spreading like a disease everywhere. They're going against the rulers and causing all this chaos. People are dead. Look what's happening all over the place. وَالْعِيَادُ بِاللَّهِ because they do not apply. They don't comply with the texts. So Shaykh Ibn Uthaymeen, rahimahullah, he says, this matters that the Messenger of Allah has commanded with in this hadith and in this khutbah in the farewell pilgrimage, they are very important. Very important. Taqwa of Allah. To preserve the prayers, to fast in Ramadan, to give the zakat, and to obey the rulers in obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. These are matters that are very important. So it is obligatory upon every Muslim to learn them, to understand them correctly, and to adhere to the commands of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in everything, and especially in these points. Qala wallahu a'lam. The Shaykh says, and Allah knows best, and we say the same thing. We come to an end. Walhamdulillah, we thank Allah who allow us to complete this chapter. The chapter number, that was number 6. Right? Bab al-Taqwa. The chapter of Taqwa, walhamdulillah. Inshallah, next class we go to the next chapter. Inshallah ta'ala. Hada wa sallallahu wa sallam ala Muhammadin wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallama tasliman كثيرا